You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to Strange Familiars. Allison.
Yes.
Where have you been?
I don't know.
You have to account for your absence.
Did I miss something?
You've missed like 8 shows now.
I have not missed 8 shows.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I think I slept last week.
You weren't on last week, I know that. On tonight's show?
Yes.
I will be talking with Joseph, who has several stories to share with us. Perhaps the most interesting is... and this is the first I've heard of this. Maybe other people have had this. Maybe it's been on other podcasts, but this is the first I know of this.
Okay.
A shadow person abduction.
Like where you abduct a shadow person or a shadow person abducts you?
He was abducted by a shadow person or attempted abduction. Either way.
He was taken back to their lair?
Well, you know, just listen and see. It's very, very interesting. Before we get to Joseph, I want to thank our patrons. Thank you so much, patrons. Thank you for your help. Thank you for everything you do. We could not make Strange Familiars without you. If you like Strange Familiars and you want to help us make the show, you want to support the show, and you want to get extra content along with that, you can become a patron at Patreon. It's patreon.com/strangefamiliars. All of our patrons get commercial-free versions of the weekly episodes, plus extra episodes every month. We try to do 2, but... we'll at least do 1 for sure. To check it out, go to patreon.com/strangefamiliars. I don't know what's going on with the Apple Podcast subscription. It looks like people have signed up. I can't tell if it's working. I can't see the statistics or anything like that. I've got a help desk note in to Apple, see if we can figure it out. Hopefully we can get that worked out and people can sign up there as well. But for now, patreon.com/strangefamiliars. All right, let's go ahead and talk with Joseph.
I'd like to welcome Joseph to the show. How are you doing tonight?
Doing great, man. How about you?
Doing good. Doing good. Well, you wrote and you said you had some experiences to share with us. I'm excited to get them down for the show. Can you let us know, you know, as much as you're comfortable, you don't have to be exact with where things happen, but give a general location, a state, town, whatever you're comfortable with, and start walking us into your experiences, and I'll ask questions as we go.
Cool. Yeah. So I'm from Northwest Arkansas. All these stories pretty much take place in Northwest Arkansas, kind of full spectrum across the board. But if we're going to jump right into it, I guess first experience I had, I was about four. So this would be 91-ish. I was about 4 to 5 years old. And parents had just separated and had got with my stepdad at the time, would be my stepdad. And mom puts us to sleep. We were in a town called Green Forest, and mom puts us to sleep for the night. Me and my sister shared a room, and I'm not sure when about it happened, but I wake up at some point to a shadow figure coming over the bed and then grabbing me, throwing me over his shoulder, and taking me a short distance before throwing me in what I thought of as a box. I thought it was like some sort of chest or box at the time. So as he throws me over the shoulder, I just start fighting. I'm just kicking and screaming, trying to get away. It throws me in the box, and I continue to do the same, just pounding at all the walls of the box. And about the few minutes into it, what I assume was a few minutes, I start hearing my mom and stepdad talking. And they're like, you know, I can hear a little bit of panic in their voice and not sure why they're not coming to get me. Like, ooh, I'm in the box here. So I hear them like deliberating on what to do. And then finally they come in my room and they flip on the light. And I see light from underneath on the bottom of this door. Well, it didn't take me long to realize I was in a closet. But the weird part about it, you know, and I had no context as a little kid. I've never slept walk since, but my mom lets me out, and it was just all very shocking. Like, what happened here? So my mom's like, well, what happened? You know, and I was like, some man grabbed me and threw me on his shoulder and threw me in there. And she's like, well, what did he look like? And I was like, he looks like Shredder from the Ninja Turtles. And that was my frame of contact for some villain. And I remember seeing the shadow figure. I don't remember seeing, you know, him per se, like it was Shredder, you know. And I probably wouldn't even bring this story up if I wouldn't have to segue back to it later on.
Okay, so did he actually look like Shredder, or that's just the reference you used because you were a little kid?
No, this was, again, it was shadow figure, but what I saw was very edgy shapes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know how to explain it other than very big, broad figure and then edgy face. Almost like you couldn't see a face, but there was many angles to to what he looked like, which that was just the frame of context I had. And this was, you know, 1990-91. I pretty much had two shirts at that time, and it was like Ninja Turtles and Mario Brothers.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, with the little kid, they're going to describe things according to their frame of reference. But
yeah,
I've had people on who describe shadow people, and I've gotten two different descriptions. One was just like, no, it just looked like kind of like a shadow cast on a wall, but it wasn't on a wall. You know, it was free moving or whatever. The other was they described it as blacker than black.
Right. Yeah.
Would this have matched either of those descriptions?
Oh, yeah. Definitely blacker than the room at that time. I don't think I had like a nightlight or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I was trying to think back, and I'm like, what was my sister doing at this time, and like all that stuff. But it was like, I would say it had dimension. It grabbed me, you know, it threw me over its shoulder, and then I didn't know where I was going, but I felt like, you know, I was just being abducted at that point.
Yeah, yeah. And did it seem like he carried you further away than the closet when he put you?
Yeah, I was thinking 30, 40 yards. Like, I thought we went somewhere else, and like he'd throw me in the front car or a chest is what it kind of like felt like. And you know, again, I'm just beating on wooden walls around me.
Right. Oh, that's pretty intense though. That's really interesting.
That's kind of the first one, and that's pretty much how I developed a fear of the dark, I guess.
That'll do it.
Yeah, that definitely did. So then pretty much not too long after that, I started having, I'd say 5 to 9-ish, I kept having these reoccurring dreams, and I'm really not trying to get into a whole bunch of dreams because I have a ton of them, but just the context of it coming back. So I started having these flying dreams about 5 to 9-ish, and, you know, I'd fly out of my house, a different house in Green Forest, but same town, and I'd fly around my room, then I'd fly out the window, and I'd fly up and over the hills, and I'd always go out to see this older woman. She was, I describe her as an older woman when I was a kid, really probably like, you know, my age now, I'm probably like 30, 40s. Mm-hmm. But I'd fly out and I'd go to the same spot every time. There's this huge down dead tree and this old campfire. The campfire wasn't smoldering or anything. It was just the same like old campsite. And every time I'd fly out there, she'd like try to teach me things. And I don't remember really what she would teach me other than like, you know, you like flying, you can keep coming back here and doing this. You know, you can keep learning things. So I had those dreams and I never really got too far beyond being just able to fly out and visit her. Mm-hmm. But about, let's say 8 or 9, I'd start flying out and then I'd look down and I'd see these coins, these large coins, and I'd be preoccupied to go and like get these coins rather than going out and meeting this lady in the woods. So I'm going to jump ahead a little bit just to make context that story, but I didn't really see my biological father from about 4 until about 12. And so I see him about 12 and he's like, we're, you know, catching up and talking and it's late night. And he's like, did you ever have any weird dreams? And I was like, well, you know, I used to go out and see this lady. And he's like, did she try to teach you how to fly and how to come back? And did you keep going to see her?
Ooh.
My dad was a weird cat. He, you know, into a lot of astrology and Reiki and a bunch of stuff. But he's like, yeah, a lot of us, my brothers and your cousins have had the same dream.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And very weird. So at first I thought, I was like, man, he's messing with me. You know, like I told him when I was a little kid, but I started thinking about it and I was like, well, this was after I couldn't see him anymore. You know, but yeah, the same basic story. And I tried to get a little bit deeper with that with my grandmother, who's passed away since. But I was asking her, I was like, you know, do you have any deeper insight into these dreams? And she said that somewhere down the family that shared stories that we had a witch that was hung for being a witch, which could be any context. But man, that's about as far as I got with her on any details of that particular story.
Mm-hmm. That's fascinating, though. Like, you know, your father's side of the family is having these dreams.
Yeah, yeah. And apparently several of us, and I don't know that my dad has since passed as well. But yeah, it's just a very weird little story.
Yeah. Do you remember any details about the lady, like how she looked or anything?
I remember just like regular rustic like pants and a button-up shirt. But yeah, in my mind, whenever I was a kid, she was old, but I'd say 40s, you know, not.
Yeah. Yeah. When you're a little kid, anybody who's over 30 looks ancient.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But that's about the only details. But it was always the same, too. Like flying out over the same ridge, going down to the same tree. It was a pretty peculiar set of dreams. And then when my dad asked me that, I, you know, have you had this? These dreams really sent it home for me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would do it.
So the next one, I would have been about third grade, so about 9-ish, I guess. We're living in Omaha, and we've always been like super outdoorsy, hunting, fishing. I spent most of my childhood running around the woods by myself with a stick. But we're down fishing at a little local spot called Cricket in Omaha, and we're catfishing. It's probably 11 or 12 at night. I'm down there with my stepdad and my sisters, and I see this bright object in the sky. Like, it starts coming through the woods and down over the lake, and about when it's about midway over the lake, I start trying to get Roy's attention. I'm trying to get my stepdad's attention, and I'm like, what is that? You know, what is that over there? And it took him a minute to respond. And by that time, it was probably a little bit halfway up the ridge, the second ridge line. And just typical orb shape, kind of bouncing along, no real rhyme or reason, just over the water, up over the hill. And my stepdad glances at it like for 2 seconds and was like, oh, that's the moon. And I was like, it's not the moon, it's moving. You know, it can't be the moon, it's moving. So it takes probably, I don't know, 2 minutes for it to do this. Then it just goes back over the hill. Didn't have any answers beyond that. But yeah, it was just a bright spherical shape that just moved across the water. And I went back as a teenager, and that's like a popular swimming spot through there. But it's probably 150, 200 yards across that waterway. It did so relatively fast, faster than you could swim it, for sure.
I know it's really hard to estimate the size of things in the sky, especially at night, but if you had to guess, about how big was it?
Yeah, I'd say basketball size or bigger, because of the, I mean, and again, you know, I was 8 or 9, and I've only recently started to, like, look back after the events that have happened in the last, like, 5 years. Like, what other things have happened? And then started getting more podcasts like yours, where it's just, like, an eclectic of just unexplained things that happen.
Yeah, I think if you experience things later in life and you look back, you start to, I don't know if you have a context, because I don't, you know, I don't know what any of these things are specifically, but it does seem to, like, at least sort of reframe some events from your youth. I know the same thing happened to me when I started, like, really looking back and being like, no, wait, that was weird.
Yeah, just not, definitely out of the ordinary. Yeah.
Did it have any color, this orb?
Yeah, red, orange, white. Just very, like, and I've heard you talk about it, like, it illuminating or not. I don't think it illuminated. I think it was contained within itself.
Like, yeah. So fascinating, having seen that quite a few times at that area we call Site 7, and it's just, like, they're bright and they should be lighting up things around it, but they're not.
Right. And I remember it coming through the trees too. So it wasn't like it was showing through the trees. I just saw it behind the trees. It wasn't like luminescent through it.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, I know it's hard to estimate, but was it high in the sky or was it closer to?
Closer to the ground, 6 feet, 4 feet from the water, from the, maybe a little bit higher once it got up over the ridge, but it was a bit, it just hugged the ground pretty close.
Don't know what they are, but I absolutely love stories about these mystery lights. They're so weird, and enough people have seen them. And when you talk to people, it's so hard because it's the kind of thing where, like, unless you've seen it, things like self-illuminating and stuff, it doesn't really click. But right. People who've seen it, you're describing, and people have seen it know exactly what you're talking about, which is really cool. Not to leave anyone out, I'm sure people can imagine, but I just mean, like, having seen it, I just love these stories. Wish I knew what they were. Don't know.
Exactly. But it didn't seem to have any intention or reason. It just kind of whimsically floated on its path, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the one night we hiked into that woods at Site 7 to where we saw them during the day and just waited. And then they came up to us like they were curious. It was almost like they had intelligence, but not like human intelligence. You know what I mean? It was almost like an animal intelligence or something.
Yeah. Just
curious.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But a friend of mine said a very similar story with the just being curious, you know, coming up and being like, what are you?
Yeah. That's very much what it was like. And we've had some pretty scary times out there. So I thought when we get in there amongst them, I was ready to be terrified that night, honestly. And it just turned out to be this really sort of whimsical experience where these lights were just almost playing with it.
Yeah, definitely odd. I love how everybody gets to come here and, like, give a little piece, because everybody has, like, a weird story or something to bring to the puzzle. That
Yeah. I think we have to, in the end, we'll have to be satisfied with having pieces of the puzzle and never the whole thing. But
oh yeah, you'll never understand.
Like, I'm happy to get all the pieces I can, you know.
Yes. So moving on to about, I was probably about 12 years old, and 11, 12, I was very religious at this point. I was trying to just be a good Christian, doing all these things right. And my family were on both sides. They were pretty strict Jehovah's Witnesses. About that time, you know, I'm an angsty preteen, but every night whenever I'd go to bed, I'd see these shadow entities, like we were talking about earlier. This wasn't like a edgy demon coming to get me. These were beings that would just come into the room at night as I'm trying to go to bed, and became so prevalent that I would just start counting how many there were.
Oh, wow.
Sometimes there would be 2 or 3. Sometimes there would be up to 9 of them. And they'd be all around me, kind of lingering. And I've heard other people have very similar experiences on your show where they almost look two-dimensional. They're not like physically there. They're like maybe a dimensional thing. I'm not quite sure what they are. And they didn't seem malice, but I was terrified. And, you know, if I closed my eyes, I would just get like a flash like a slideshow of horrible things.
Hmm.
And so this went on for a couple of years, probably till I was about 14 or so. And it wasn't every night, but, you know, like at least once a week, I would have these things come in and just hover above me and give me a horrible feeling, you know.
Did you ever try to just pray them away?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Did that work?
No, it didn't for this instant. But again, I don't know if I was just terrified of them, so I was just seeing all these bad flashes in my head, or if they were putting them in my head, like almost just like downloading me with something.
Right. Right. Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely, you know, that was the first thing I went to was prayer, and it didn't work. But stories I have later on, it definitely, that was my main way to fight this stuff off. So basically, you know, about 14, I just was like, I'm not going to be religious. I'm just going to be a rebellious teen. And, you know, saw a bunch of stuff in the church I didn't want to see. And I did want to actually bring this part up. We're talking a little bit about religion. Was it Brother Richard? Man, I love hearing you guys talk. The Fatima episode was amazing. And he's gave me a lot of like, well, maybe, you know, maybe organized religion isn't dull. Like his whole vibe, I love the way he talks about stuff and breaks stuff down. And
he's a very, very special person. I mean, yeah, he's great.
yeah, I love all the stuff that I've heard you guys do. So yeah, I'm a rebellious teen, 14-ish. I'm like, I'm just going to do my own thing. I'm going to go drink beer and smoke cigarettes and not try to be so. Because I felt like the more I tried to do something good, the more I was being attacked for it. So anyway, nothing really happens for a few years. I'm probably about 17 at this point. We move into this old house in Harrison, Arkansas. The house I live in now is probably from the 60s, so this had to have been from the 40s, maybe earlier. But it was an old house that was converted into a fourplex, and old heavy doors. I mean, big heavy doors. When you closed them, you heard it, you knew it. And we had these doors just open and close all the time. There'd be 5-6 people in the living room and door would open. We'd be like, oh yeah, that's just the ghost, you know. Never had anything weird other than that. It was just like this just happens. So this happened for probably 6-8 months, maybe a little bit more. And I'm sitting by myself at home and I grab the remote and I flip on the TV and fix to play some video games. And about right as soon as I turn the TV on, the door beside me opens. And I am way ahead of myself. Sorry, I'm going to back up.
No worry.
Before that instance, I'm washing dishes in the kitchen. I look over and I'm half talking to my good friend and my ex now. And I'm kind of talking to him and I glance over my shoulder and I see this man sitting beside my girlfriend. And I look, see him, look back, and then he's gone. And guess what he's wearing, Tim?
oh, was he wearing flannel?
He was wearing flannel.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
So yeah, he's sitting on the couch right beside my girlfriend. Bluish, blue-green flannel shirt, denim jeans, trucker cap, tall, skinny guy, brown hair. And nothing stood out weird. He was just sitting there, like kind of like looking forward. So we still had experiences, doors are opening, nothing really horrible. So I go down to play video games around the TV, door opens beside me. And I'm trying to look back and like, why did I even go to the door? Like, why did I feel the need to like shut it? Door opens beside me. I go and I go to shut that one. And as I'm going to shut that one, the door to my roommate's room opens. And so it's two of them. I go, okay, that's weird. Shut the one, walk across the kitchen. I've got the remote in one hand and I'm reaching out with the other. And as I'm reaching for the one that had just opened, it keeps opening. And as it's opening, I feel this ice cold air. And then I black out. I don't know what happened. Oh, wow. I wake up and I'm about 10 feet back. In between the living room and the kitchen, and the remote's beyond that, you know, like I had just fallen straight back, passed out. And so I wake up and I just like, I thought someone was like trying to kill me or something. I didn't know. Like, I just wrote out what had just happened in case something was like after me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then nothing ominous after that. And I still don't feel like it was anything like evil. I think it was just like a connection of two energies, or maybe like I wanted that open and he was like pissed off or something. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know how I'd feel about passing out and waking up though.
Oh yeah. I don't know how much time passed, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Know what happened, but nothing like that has ever happened before or since, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just being hit like that, and as I'm reaching for it, like that door just kept swinging open, like, and then ice cold, last thing I remember.
Hmm.
Yeah, so next one would be, I would be about 20 years old. I was working on the road doing steel work, and we had just finished a job, I want to say in Idaho, and we were coming back through Kansas, and there's just nothing in Kansas, everybody knows, but there's this one big cloud in the sky while we're driving back and nothing else to watch on the road. So, you know, I'm just kind of like looking at the sky and I start seeing this shape in the sky kind of left of this cloud. And I'm watching it and it kind of changes from spherical to like saucer elongated to shiny to white. And I'm like, oh, like there's a weather balloon there, you know, like something in the sky there. And about the time I'm noticing it and like telling the person who was driving, he saw it and he's like, yeah, it's got to be a weather balloon. We start watching it and it starts moving in an erratic pattern. Mm-hmm. I joke like it looked like it made a question mark, like it was like knew that I saw it or something. Mm-hmm. You know, but we watched it for, I don't know, well over an hour. It would disappear and there would be pop up and be three more on the other side of the sky. And
so multiple.
Yeah. As soon as I couldn't see one, I'd start searching the sky and I'd see more. Oh, wow. And it would just blip out. The one I saw at first was the closest one. So that's what I was, you know, preoccupied on. But I kept doing this for a good hour and a half. We watched this thing over the sky, or these things kind of blip in, blip out, move across the sky. All kind of underneath this cloud, but all around it. In about the same shape, spherical, just white, or you get a glimmer of, you know, something maybe metallic or light reflecting. But yeah, the guy who I saw it with would have, I actually saw him a few months ago, and he's like, yeah, this is the guy I saw the UFOs with.
Oh, wow.
And he's like big, tough guy who would never say anything like that. But that was the first time I saw anything weird in the sky.
I thought you were going to tell me that you saw them and the guy that was driving couldn't see them. I was like, oh, because that happened to me one night. It wasn't anything in the sky. It was whatever it was on the ground, but it had lit up this field. It was like 4 a.m. Had completely lit up this field like a stadium. And I'm pointing to the guy like it shouldn't have been lit up like that. Like, and we should have been able to see the source of the light. We were coming back from a drywall job, actually. That's why your story reminded me of that. And I'm like, hey, dude, look at that light. Look, and he was like in a trance. I don't know whether he couldn't see it or what. He just went, yeah. And I was like, no, look. You know, I went to go look, you know, drive up to it and see. And he was like, yep. And then just kept driving on. Like, it's like. Yeah.
Now, I fully would have expected this guy to look at it, see it, and then completely deny that he ever saw it. But he watched it for too long. You know,
it's better to have someone who can back you up your story like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And like just having that validation, talking to him a few months ago, I was like, oh, yeah. Like, he remembers it.
yeah.
So right in that same neck of the woods, I was about 22 when I saw, again, just really weird that I even went outside. But I just go outside. I have company at the house. We're like eating dinner and my good friend and his girlfriend are over. And I just go outside and smoke and didn't think to invite or tell anybody I was leaving or anything. As soon as I go outside, I start seeing these lights come through the sky. And I was like, guys, come check this out. There's these lights in the sky. By that time, there were probably, I don't know, they were coming out in what looked like sets of three. And it looked like they were flying right over I-49. And I'm sure you're familiar with like the Phoenix lights.
Yeah, yeah.
Very similar to that. And this is, you know, we've got flip phones and we're all trying to record it. And one of the people who were there was like ex-military and just got out of Iraq and like Civil Air Patrol. And he's like, I don't know what the hell that is. You know, like it could be lanterns, but it looks different than that, you know? Mm-hmm. And as they're like going over I-40, like some of them would take off and just shoot to the west.
Yeah, that seems not lantern-like.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, well, you know, maybe it hit a jet stream and like that's taken off. But yeah, so we saw about 15 of these. Got footage, but you know how this was like flip phone days too. So it was like, we're like, all right, let's see if we can like look at these images better, you know. We end up looking at them the next day, and the lights were full spectrum lighting. Like each frame you went through, they would be purple, red, blue, green, like every different spectrum.
Huh.
So we're like, well, definitely not a candle, definitely not like a lantern scenario. And we knew multiple other people who had seen the same thing. Whenever I was like, oh man, it looks like they're shooting out towards Weddington. And one of the girls that was at my house, her brother saw the same thing when he was living out at Weddington, the same night. And I wish I could remember the day. I want somebody else to be like, yeah, we saw it too. But we reported that to MUFON and they didn't ever put it up. And there were multiple things on MUFON where I was like, why they got this up here? Like,
yeah, no judgment, but I've heard similar stories. Let's just say that from up.
Yeah. So anyways, that was the UFOs with friends.
Mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It wouldn't have been, I don't know, maybe a couple of years beyond that. One of the same people that saw that with me, we were out fishing. I had a little scamp boat at the time, and we were out on this little lake, Fayetteville, called Lake Wilson. And this is like a tiny little lake. And it's right out past this place, this old bridge that used to be there that was called Tilly Willy. It was kind of like a local haunted spot. All the kids would go out and like be like, you go out and park on Tilly Willy and then your cars can shake and just like a little hot spot for weird stuff. And previously, like I had been down there and walked up the creek from Tilly Willy, and this is like thick brush, briars, you know, you're not going to be just randomly walking around down there. And I have a little flip phone with me, but there was this little crossing and I saw that something had crossed there. And there was this big footprint slid down the bank. Like it was just a big muddy bank. And this thing looked to be about 8 inches wide, but like a human's foot. I've never seen any bear out there. I'm not even 100% sure what bear track could be like that. But I remember taking note of it, taking a picture. I'm going to try to find a good charger for my old phone and see if I can get some better resolution off of it. But we're past out on this little lake on our boat. And again, I was probably about 24. We're fishing and it's illegal to be out on the lake past dark out there. So we had little headlamps with us. And the only people that were parked there were me and my buddy. And then we saw some cops roll through and like check out the area. And this, again, it's like a 30 acre lake. The whole park is maybe like 350 acres or something. But we're out there with like barely any light, just enough to like tie our lures. We get over to the bank and we're probably 20 yards from the bank. And we hear what sounds like boulders being thrown at us. This isn't like a beaver splash or like a flap of its tail or like a bass jumping. These are like two handers that somebody's chunking at us.
Oh, wow.
And they're up in the woods. There's no light for them.
Mm-hmm.
but something does this 5, 6, 8 times, throwing these boulders at us. They're not trying to hit us, I don't believe, because it's like adjacent. We're like, we're getting splashed, but it's not like they were trying to like hit us.
Still a little worrisome, so, you know.
Oh yeah, it was terrifying. Like we're like, what the hell?
Yeah, if they miss, even if they're not trying to hit you and they miss,
it's
a headache.
And, you know? And I was talking to my buddy recently about it, and I was like, those weren't like you gotta like I would have to two-hand those. They were like big rocks, you know,
mm-hmm.
or what sounded like rocks. And so we get freaked out, and we just try to get away from the bank as fast as we can. And we start going back towards where we're parked, closer to this other bank. By the time we got close enough to the other bank for something to start throwing rocks, it started throwing rocks at us from the other side of the lake.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, again, it's probably like, I don't know, 2 miles around it. But still, you're not going to run half the lake in 20 seconds. And all we had was like a little trolling motor. You know, we weren't moving super fast.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, by the time we got to the other bank, it starts throwing stones at us again.
So I'm imagining like
from the other bank.
From the woods or whatever behind you again.
Yeah. 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 So it's throwing it from the woods. We cross the lake, and by the time we can get over there, it's throwing it from the woods again.
Okay. From the woods on the other side. So it's moved positions.
It's moved, or there's multiple things out there.
Right. Yeah. Or there's more than one. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's, you know, we were like, well, you know, we don't know. I mean, the scariest thing could be out there is people not mm-hmm. wanting you to be there.
Right.
So we just like got the hell out of there, but we're all very freaked out by it.
Yeah. Mine has to be working like, okay, wait a minute. Some crazy guy in the woods didn't want us here. It's his fishing spot or whatever.
Right.
He's throwing rocks. So we get in a boat, we go to the other side of the lake. And what, he's got his buddy over there waiting, just happens to be waiting in the same that spot.
And no lights. No.
Yeah.
We couldn't hear him. We had headlamps, and there were boulders that could be thrown from the other side that you could easily access. I don't remember. There's not a whole lot of good access where they were thrown from where there have been easy rocks to grab. It was more muddy bank and bluff line.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a very weird scenario.
Yeah. And if it is people, it's like, man, again, you make a mistake. You hit somebody with a rock that size, they're in the hospital and you're in trouble, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But they've recently made that lake open, and I've been out there, you know, 100 times since. Haven't had anything like that happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've had other weird stuff, which I guess I'll segue right into, unless you have any more questions about that one.
No, it's super fascinating, but, you know, without seeing anything, you know, we could say it's this or that, but...
Right. Just very...
We'll just leave it in the unknown category.
For sure. So, same lake. This is... when was this? 2015... there's the blood moon in 2015. Me and my lady decided to go out and have Bloody Marys and watch the blood moon on our kayaks on the lake. Seemed like perfectly good way to watch it. Blood moon happens. There's a ton of people out there at the lake as well. But my lady was like, her name's Shannon. She was like, do you see that? I'm like, yeah, I see it. I was trying to figure out what the hell it was. And not looking like... at the moon, you wouldn't see it, but just straight up above us, looking like it was outside of the atmosphere, there were these orbs that were swarming everywhere, dozens of them. And it looked like they were just right on outside of the atmosphere, or maybe at the very top of it. Mm-hmm. But they were kind of reflecting off of, I guess, like the blood moon made it easier to see them. I'm not really sure, but we both saw it. And there was just dozens of them out there, just... floating in the sky. I don't know.
Anybody else seem to see him, or were you too far away from other people?
We were out in the middle of the lake, and we didn't talk to anybody on the bank. But yeah, we just sit there and watched them for a few minutes, and after the event happened, they kind of dissipated. And there were, I mean, just dozens of them. Man, looked like insects, just all over, like they were just moving in and out of each other, like they had a reason to be doing it, but it didn't make any real sense.
I know you wouldn't mention this if they were, but I just for listeners, because often when I talk about light, well, it was fireflies. Just
definitely not fire. We have those out there. I would be out watching the fireflies right now, but the cicadas are so loud, we couldn't record out there. So, but yeah, definitely not fireflies. And these were tiny because they were so far off. I mean. And it was only a certain cluster, like we could see them on, where that's where they were gathered.
Right.
It was definitely weird, nonetheless.
Mm-hmm.
So about that same exact time, actually, the same house we were living in at that time, we had three rats at one time. We lost two. We had one left. He ends up passing away. His name was Bundy. So we go to sleep that night, and I wake up to something in the house. Thought maybe an animal had got in, something's in the house. So I sit up out of bed, and I'm listening for it and looking around for shadows, where it can be or whatever. When I see this little thing running along the edge of the walls, and I'm like, there's something here, babe. There's something in the house. And she's sleeping. She's kind of like restless, but like, I know she heard me. But so this thing like walks along the edge, comes up next to the bed, climbs up on the bed, and it's my rat, Bundy.
Oh.
And so I grab, you know, put him in my hand, and I'm like, Bundy, I was like, you're dead. What, you know, what's going on? Like, I'm sit up out of bed talking to this thing, and trying, I was like, Shayna, look, it's Bundy. Like he's alive. What, you know, like, and she's like not looking, but she's hearing me say all this. She was just, she didn't know if I was dreaming or she was like, mainly, I just want to go to sleep. Like, and, but anyway, so I'm holding this thing and like talking to him, and he bites me in the finger.
Oh.
And right when he bites me, my eyes wake up and I'm sitting up like I'm holding a rat in my hand.
Uh-huh.
You know, I talked to Shayna later and she was like, yeah, you know, I heard all that. I was just kind of freaked out and kind of like, what's going on? But it was very weird. And I was like, also like, Bundy's never bit me. I was like, Bundy, why'd you bite me? You know, trying to like rationalize that. Why my dead rat bit me. I was like, I don't think I would have remembered that he was even there. Unless he like bit me and like snapped me out of it to like make me process the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Did you have a mark on your finger?
I did not. No. Didn't have a whole lot happen for a lot of years. I'm not even sure how many years ago this all happened, but I'd say probably, I don't know, it was probably about 29 or 30 when I had my first sleep paralysis. It's when it all starts getting weird for me.
It was weird enough before.
Well, no, I mean, like, that's just, like, stuff that, like, I, you know, you can't really put a finger on what anything is.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just, like, weird stuff happens. You know, I don't know, was I dreaming? Was it? Was that a, you know, moonshiner throwing boulders? Like, what was it? But the sleep paralysis was the first thing that I was just like, what is this? Like, anyways, it was just me and my dog at the house at that time. I go to sleep any normal night. I wake up and I think I had just recently got deep sleep because it's, you know, like when you wake up and you're kind of confused.
Yeah.
Like you don't really know where you are. Like, what just woke me up? I'm discombobulated. I wake up and I'm trying to process what's going on. And in the living room, I just see my TV doing, I see the reflection of my TV just doing static. And it took me a minute to like realize what was going on. I was like, man, I, you know, I have a smart TV. Like, I've never seen it go to analog like this. I was like, what's going on? My dog's laying on the couch. And so I get up and I walk in the living room and trying to turn off the TV. And as I'm getting closer to the TV, it starts getting louder and louder, just bellowing, like to the point where I realize like, I can't turn this TV off. And as I get close enough to it and it just gets so loud, this shadow static being comes out of the TV and just starts getting bigger as it gets closer to me. And I'm probably 8 feet from the TV. And this thing, I'm standing there and I become paralyzed. And this thing like picks me up. I don't know if my feet were off the ground, but I didn't walk backwards. This thing pushes me backwards all the way back down my hall and into my bed as it's screaming and getting louder and louder, just the loudest, most terrifying thing you can ever think, just screaming at you, but in static form.
Wow.
I couldn't look at it, but I got the sense of what it's faced, and I could just see this just giant open jaw just screaming. So then I go to praying, and I'm just praying, trying to do anything to like move my toes, and I'm trying to call for my dog and do anything to like get out of this because I'm completely paralyzed at this point.
Okay, so it's pushed you back in paralysis when you're back in your bed then?
Yeah, I was paralyzed from the
time to come out of the TV, basically.
Okay, all right, yeah.
I just can't move, and it's pushing me backwards. And then it's not on top of me. It's beside the bed just screaming at me, and I can't really turn my head to look at it. But again, I kind of like visualize the sense of what it was. Anyway, so I try to move my toes, try to like breathe and call my dog, and I'm barely getting out, you know, like trying to get my dog to come off the couch.
Mm-hmm.
Like my only line of defense, I've, you know, been praying and none of that seemed to work this particular time. My dog like very lazily gets off the couch, like after like what seemed like forever me trying to get him to come help me out here. And so he like casually walks to the bed, jumps up on the bed, and then it's all gone.
Hmm.
And the weird thing about that is that was right before a particular time with my dog that he ended up getting put down, and like some, it was like a precursor or something to bad time in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So after that happens, very next day, you know, I'm freaked out. Also, another point, you feel like you're never going to go to sleep. You're like, I'm terrified. Something just tried to take, like, basically, like, it's trying to take me. It's trying to take all of me, is the feeling I got from it.
Mm-hmm.
Feel like you're not going to go to sleep, right to sleep, every time. As soon as it's done, you're just like, I don't know, like it never happened.
Don't know what that is, but yep.
Yeah.
Experience it myself and have people tell me about it constantly. Like, that,
yeah,
I've been able to go back to sleep, went right back to sleep.
That time, I wake up the next morning and I called my girlfriend and I called my mom. I called my mom thinking I had some kind of like mental break or something. But mom, anybody in the family like have anything weird like this happen, you know? Like, she's just like, well, it's been going on a long time for you. And I was like, wait, what do you mean? What are you talking about? Like, it's been going on a long time. Like, I was always like a depressed kid and stuff, but like nothing like trying to take my soul, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And right about then is whenever it hit me with the experience I had whenever I was a little kid.
Right.
That same entity that had attacked me whenever I was 4 was that same edgy, evil thing that was just seemed super powerful. That maybe as a kid, I wasn't able to really do much, and it was able to like physically take me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it just, I was like, man, that's the same thing. It's the same thing that attacked me before.
Yeah. It struck me right away. It was like, okay, so this thing, I don't know that if it picked you up or pushed you back, but either way, it had contact and it moved you the way the other thing did when you were a kid. Yeah.
Right. And my buddy had a good way of, he had a similar sleep paralysis, and he was saying it was like a magnet. Like when it gets close enough to you, you're almost repelled by it. And the same when you're trying to look at it.
That's really interesting. It's a really interesting way of putting it. Yeah.
Yeah. Almost like you can't physically look at it.
Mm-hmm.
So I tell my girlfriend about the story, and she's like, are you kidding me? And I was like, what? And she's like, that's almost exactly what happened to me, except for we fell asleep in the living room out on the hide of bed. You had went to bed. I wake up, the TV's static, and I go to like shut it off, but it just keeps getting louder and louder and louder. And she realizes she can't turn it off, so she's just going to leave it. And she walks backwards down the hall, like didn't want to turn her back on it. And then it proceeds to sleep paralyze her in the same way. And she's trying to call my dog.
Huh.
Come wake.
She didn't see the static entity?
No, she just said it was the static from the TV. Mm-hmm. She didn't physically see the same being I did. But yeah, she thought I was telling her the same story, and I felt horrible for not just hearing a story like that and being like, yeah, crazy dream.
Right. Yeah.
And once it happens to you, it comes a little more real.
Yeah, you're like, oh, wait. Like, yeah. Yeah, that's not fair. But another time she had sleep paralysis while we were in the same bed, and she's like looking to try to get me to help her, and she says she looks over and my head's just frantically shaking like I'm having a seizure, like it's already got me.
Oh wow.
I don't remember this one either, but yeah, she's like looking for me for help, and then looks over and, you know, like the horror movie where your head's just shaking.
Mm-hmm.
That's what she's described it as, like just fully seizing out. Like, this thing already had me. Yeah. So those were pretty brutal, and those happened a lot, but I got better at fighting them off, like just feeling more powerful, like had the energy to defend myself, and that these things needed something from me.
Mm-hmm.
They needed me to be scared of them, or they were feeding off my energy or something.
Yeah.
And they weren't always the same. The first time was the static entity, and the rest were more shadow entity, but I still couldn't look at them, and I still was paralyzed.
Mm-hmm. Roughly about how many times do you think it happened?
Around then, probably about 15. I'd say it's probably 25 or 30 times now.
Hmm.
And a lot of them just kicked off. My dad died in September, and it was pretty brutal. You know, I had take him off life support, and like it was a really horrible thing.
God, I'm sorry.
And it was so quick too. It was like we drove down to Florida, had to make a decision, and then we're back in 3 days. Like,
yeah,
what the hell, you know? And I didn't have time to process anything. But we walk through the door, and I'm like, I know my sister's like trying to get back to her family and stuff, and I'm like getting my stuff, and I walk in the house, and I walk over, put my stuff in my bedroom. And my Ouija board falls off the wall. It doesn't fall completely, but it knocks some of my art and stuff. Like, I have a big shelf of, like, crystals and stuff. And I hadn't only used the Ouija board, like, a couple times, probably in my, like, earlier 20s. But it's, like, a really old, like, I don't know if it's, like, 40s or 50s, but it's an antique Ouija board.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm just back from the hospital with all that stuff. And then the moment I walk in, the Ouija board jumps off the wall. And couldn't even deal. I was just like, nope, I'm not going to deal with it. You know, I'm just, I don't know what has followed me back. I'm in a really dark place. I felt bad that like maybe it was my dad trying to reach out, but I just couldn't deal with it.
Sure. Yeah.
And my sister kept begging me. She's like, it's dad. Let's talk to him and blah, blah, blah. Like you don't know what we're never going to get. It's just like talking about any of this. We're never going to get a definitive answer.
Exactly. Exactly. And there are plenty of whatevers out there that are happy to pretend to be your dad or anything else, you know.
Yeah, yeah, and maybe a lot easier avenue to get to us than whatever.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Anyway, so the sleep paralysis, they come right back same time. They become pretty frequently. Like I know almost whenever I'm going to bed if they're going to happen.
Interesting.
It's weird, little, like, just little indicator. Not only will, like, I feel, like, vulnerable, but I'll be laying there, and I can hear my fan start to slow down, just like a time slip or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes it's like a pressure bubble where, like, I feel it, like, pressuring and then, like, a pop before it starts to happen to me. And this kept happening at least another, you know, 10, 12 times within a very short time frame. And so at this point I'm like trying to like look at them. I'm like, well, if I've got to experience this, I need to like figure something out. Mm-hmm. Like, what are they? Like, I can fight them off relatively easy, but then it seems like they're slipping into my dreams and trying to trick me to give them permission for stuff.
Interesting.
Or like get in. Yeah, they'll just like you have to give them permission to get in your house, or I don't know. It became relatively easy to break out of the sleep paralysis part of it. One of the scarier times was I feel it coming on. I see this shadow thing coming, and my girlfriend's asleep on the couch. And I'm not sure, but at some point I had started filming. I had a Simply Safe camera. I was like, I'm going to see if I can catch them during it. And that ended up, I got nothing off of that, even though I know I'd at least sit up after the process. But this one time it walks in, and I'm trying, you know, like sometimes if you can get to your side is at least the myth that like it can get you. Like you have to like lay on your back or
yeah.
So I'm like trying to like get to my side and like trying to look at it too, and it just grabs my foot. I mean, like a man would grab, like if you were like gonna manhandle somebody, you know, like the grab that you would give them. And I'm still trying to like get to my side, and I'm like trying to fight it off and praying and like doing all that stuff, and then it just lets go, and then I'm not paralyzed. And my sister hates it, but whenever I tell my nieces this one, they're always like, where was your sock? I sleep with my socks on, which is probably weirder than the story, but Yeah, when he grabbed my foot, I was like, yeah, I woke up the next morning and my sock was gone.
Oh, did you ever find it?
Yeah, it was in my sheath. So, okay.
All right.
Yeah, it wasn't in another dimension, but yeah, it was terrifying. Something just grab you, and that's the first time it physically got me.
So this is just a theory, but I'll run it by you just to see if it resonates with you at all. Given that you seem to be having out-of-body experiences when you were younger, when you were doing the flying thing, I've often wondered if when these things happen in sleep paralysis, if we're not going out of body in some way, and these things, these entities, whatever they are drawn to us. It's like ringing a bell when we go out of body. And it's like all these entities, like their heads turn like, oh, okay, I can get to him now. And that's when this stuff happens. And I know the weird stuff happens, like where there are physical things, you know, your sock was taken off. You did sit up in bed. But I wonder if that happens at the sort of crossroads when we're coming back into our body and these things are somehow making the jump back and forth from the, you know, the physical realm to the whatever realm we're in when we go out of body. But especially when you're talking about that thing sort of pressing you back from the TV, that static entity, you know, that almost feels like an out of body thing. And then it pushed you back into your body, essentially, where you had the sleep paralysis. I don't know. It's just a theory I have, but I'm wondering if that resonates with you at all, given that you know, I think you were having out of body experiences when you were having those flight things when you were younger.
Yes. I'm not sure about the outer body, but like I've definitely played with the idea of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that totally fits with how it was able to push me back into my body.
Yeah. Just a theory I have, but it's, yeah, you know,
what I find weird about all of them is they're almost, all this happens whenever I'm in some kind of limbo. Like what, you know, a lot of people talk about how they hear banging or noises. Like I'll be almost to sleep, like in this weird little limbo of like being asleep and awake when thud or when the sleep paralysis will happen, or it seems like when you're almost like in between whatever, it could be realms, dimensions, mm-hmm. layers of your brain, whatever it is, but there's like a vulnerable state where, yeah, like you were saying, like it could just be like a beacon for these things that are, can just jump over.
Yeah, like that draws their attention or something. I don't know. But yes, there seems to be like an out-of-body component to it somehow. I think there's more, you know, people write off sleep paralysis as just being dreams and stuff, but it really feels like more to me.
I'm a very vivid dreamer. It's like there's no way I could ever put this anywhere in the ballpark of dream.
Yeah, and again, this is something that it's like the people who have experienced it can agree. It's like you're more vivid even than wake. And sometimes it's so vivid and you're so present. It's like, no, I'm telling you, this wasn't a dream. I can't explain it any further than that, but it was.
Yeah. I mean, you can physically see everything that's in your room. Like mm-hmm. maybe it is like you were saying, like an outer body. But one time we were talking about this at a little grilling party and five out of six of us had sleep paralysis.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, we all start talking about different archetypes and like, it's like, I mean, you know, you listen to hundreds.
What episode? Like, are you 400?
Well
over 400 now. Yeah,
yeah. Night visitors, sleep paralysis. Like, too many people like have all these same.
Mm-hmm.
It's very strange. Like, I don't know. Haven't really had a whole lot of sleep paralysis, and probably since about February, which I'm really glad about.
How old are you now?
I'm 36. Fixing to be 37.
So. I think there is a physical component to sleep paralysis, but there's also another component too. But as far as the physical component goes, reading books about it and so forth, for most people, not for everyone, for most people, it tends to die off in your middle 30s. It did so with me. Now, I've had a couple since that, but just rarely, just a couple, you know, scattered throughout years might pass before I have one. So
right.
Maybe, I can't say for sure, but maybe it'll start dying off for you.
I hope so. Again, I've been an outdoorsy person my whole life. I'm never like going out there and looking for stuff or like, you know, like I did play with a Ouija board a couple times when I was a kid, but like, I'm not out there like inviting anything,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, hopefully it does. But what's weird is also, it's always coming around times where there were like really low points, either right before or right after something had happened.
Yeah, that's important too. And that's, you know, we call them liminal times. It's a thing, you know, for sure. When these moments of, you know, stress or whatever it is, these things tend to follow. I don't think that makes them any less real or any less important, but they do come around those times.
Yeah. Yeah. So a weird little synchronicity story, probably about, I don't know, 2021-ish. I was really trying to like meditate and like just calm my mind and like get some inner peace and stuff. And really what I was trying to do the entire time was like focus light into my body, just like bringing in the light, bringing it to the core of myself. And I found it extremely hard to do it. But I could see it and visualize it, and like I could never like pull it in into myself. I've been doing this for a couple of months, and one day I was at a job site, and I was actually fixing to leave the job site, and this little Hispanic lady gets out of her car, and she looks at me, and then I see her like double take me, and then she just walks straight towards me and introduces herself, and she's like, "I don't know why, but God wanted me to come talk to you." And I was like, okay, you know, I was like, oh, you know, I was raised Christian and did all this stuff, and I'm real, you know, organized religion's not for me, blah, blah, blah. She's like, no, it's not where you go. She's like, it's not about where you go. She's like, it's about letting the light into your heart. And she's like, you have to let the light into your heart. I was like, wait, what? Like, that's exactly what I've been trying to do through like meditation. And then she went on to tell me like basically how she was brought over here and how like, just a horrible story. Her coming over is like 3 or 4 years old. But yeah, I thought that was a really weird synchronicity. Like,
yeah,
that's what I'm trying to do. And she felt compelled to come tell me.
Yeah.
I do have a pretty cool dream about what I call like the cave of rebirth. It was go to sleep, wake up, and I'm in this big old mansion, this 1800s. It looked like a hotel. It's like bustling with people and everybody's in this big vibrant mood. You know, like walking around the place, and I see a dog that I lost probably 10 years prior, and she's running around, and I was like, oh, you're here, you know? It's like, oh, you're dead. It's crazy, you know? Like, what are you doing here? And she's just super happy to see me, and everybody's like, oh, you know, Poe, blah, 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 you know, talking to me, and super energetic atmosphere, and everybody's gearing up to go do something. I'm like, what's everybody doing? Like, there's a big festival tonight. Something's going on. And so I realize everybody's kind of gravitating towards this spot. And I look out of the hotel, and everybody's kind of marching down to the through this valley, kind of like by a little creek. There's big hills on both sides. And everybody's kind of like venturing down to this cave opening in the ground. And so we kind of like get in line. I was like, what is everybody doing? But I get in line with these people that are all going down, and everybody's talking about what they're going to do, and they're so excited and all this stuff. And I get down there, and I realize that not only Poe, but like all of these people are dead. There's people with like disfigured faces. All these people were dead and just waiting in line to do this thing. I don't know what they were going to do, but is that the only explanation? I was like, man, they're all going to be reborn. Like, they're going through this cave in the ground for like some sort of energy transfer or some plane change. But yeah, I didn't go through it, and I stayed back there. And I remember going back to that hotel a couple more times, and my dog's always there.
Huh.
Like, she hasn't chose to leave either. Like, she's just in this place.
Waiting for you?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's really interesting. So you've gone back in other dreams, in other words.
Yeah, definitely. Same place. That's the only time that it was this festival time, or like when they were actually doing something.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I went back to that place several times.
That's really interesting. Joseph, thank you for your stories. Thanks for coming on Strange Familiars.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Tim.
Before we get to our curiosity of the week, I want to mention Maynard's GoFundMe one more time. He's really in this kind of chaotic state right now. kind of in and out of the hospital and back to his apartment and stuff. And he obviously hasn't been able to work because he's been in the hospital so much. He could really use the help. The link for his GoFundMe is in the show notes under this episode at strangefamiliars.com. If you can help him, please do. All right. This is a Masonic
ribbon.
Please tell what this is. I don't have words.
Which is inconvenient for people doing a podcast, right? Not having words. I frequently do not have words either, but
mourning ribbon. So that's
yeah, I believe it is because most of the time they're quite colorful, and this one is black and gold. So this is from Hummelstown.
Mm-hmm.
So this is Dairy Council number 40. Not the kind of dairy you would presume for Hummelstown. This is D-E-R-R-Y, kind mm-hmm. of like Dairy Ireland, right?
I think so.
And it's black and gold Masonic ribbon. It's pretty snazzy. I like stuff like that. Virtue, liberty, patriotism.
This is your comments on it, or this is
no, it says that on it. But it does have a what is the Masonic symbol? It's a
yeah, I don't know. It's like a caliper or something. I don't know exactly like what it is. It's
a caliper and a ruler or something. Mm-hmm. I'm a fan of right angles. How about that? I feel like we just can't even hold a regular conversation.
I know. We got in over our head with this one.
I know. It's just too hot, and we've been.
There's also an arm holding some sort of hammer or something.
Yeah, very kind of Rosie the Riveter, except for not Rosie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how about Billy the Mason?
Anyway, this will be our curiosity of the week.
You can just look at it yourself and decide if you like it.
I'll take a photo of it.
Our commentary is useless.
Completely useless, and ignore it.
Yeah.
People probably know way more about this than we do.
I know. It's like most of the internet. It's just BS. We're just making it up as we go along.
It's a neat ribbon, probably a mourning ribbon, and we'll take a photo of it. We'll put it in the show notes.
And if you like that sort of thing, please help us out and buy it.
If you click on it, take you to our Etsy shop where you can purchase this and other curiosities of the week, those that are left.
And if it's your thing to correct us, which you know is another internet thing, feel free.
Yes. I have a special folder in my Gmail for the corrections that come in.
Do you really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you add all the people that write to me on eBay?
it looks shaped like a trash can.
Yeah.
Just go right in there. While you're at our Etsy shop, check out our other stuff. You know what else is there, Allison?
I do, actually. I can see it sitting over here. Yeah, the back stock's sitting right out within my...
Copies of my books. I've got every one of my books in stock right now. We got restocks. We got plenty of them. If you purchase them from Etsy, they come signed. My art book, Apparitions, Illustrations of the Other, that's the only place you can get it other than Riverbend Comics. They have it as well. My new art book, Elzik's Farewell, is there. We have a few copies of Monsters Under the Hospital Bed left. There's not too many left. I think John at Riverbend might have some extras, so I might be able to get some back from him. But for now, we only have a couple on hand, so I wouldn't sleep on that. There's artwork at Etsy, originals and prints. By the time this episode drops, I should have my print of Our Lady of Fatima, which is with the coloring by Jesse Hickey. That should be available again. That's been sold out for a little bit. That should be back in stock. There's original art there as well. If I did artwork for this episode, you can get the artwork for this episode there. I usually put the episode art up around the same time as the episode drops. We have at Etsy Strange Familiars t-shirts, the Awoken Tree design in the original blue, and Glow in the Dark. Don't know if we'll ever make the Glow in the Dark ones again.
It's Firefly season.
Yeah, you want those glow-in-the-dark shirts?
You want those glow-in-the-dark shirts.
Strange Familiar stickers, patches. Allison has lots of antique and vintage photography up there as well. Check it all out. Link is in the show notes, but our Etsy shop name is Lost Grave. But if you type in Strange Familiars, you should see our stuff come up. I've been making these paracord rosaries. I just saw them, and I thought they looked really cool. Kind of real tough rosaries and strong, rugged. I just like the way they look, right?
Yeah, because we do have a fair amount of rosaries just hanging about here that basically look like necklaces.
There's a lot of rosaries around the house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And actually, the great irony is that I used to make a lot of necklaces that had the same kind of chain.
Mm-hmm.
And I can really quite literally make that in my sleep. And if you wanted me to make that, I could have them done in no time. But
you're welcome to start making regular rosaries.
I feel like that'd be a bit of a poser move, wouldn't it?
It's up to you. But I've been making these paracord rosaries.
Yeah.
I saw them online. I thought, oh, they look really neat.
Yeah.
I have to be able to figure this out. I think I figured it out.
Yeah.
And I've been putting them up. As I make them, I put them up. Every one I've put up is sold so far. I really like them. I mean, they're really cool. So if you're into rosaries, paracord rosaries, look for them in our Etsy shop. Right now, there's not anything up there. I'm waiting for some extra rosary parts. But as soon as I get them, I'll keep putting them up. I'll probably just put them up one at a time because each one is a little bit different than the other. So I have to photograph them and put them up. Handmade by me. So that's at Etsy as well. Again, shop name is Lost Grave. Link is in the show notes. If you type in Strange Familiars, our stuff will come up. The rosaries are in the Flowered Path section. While you're on Etsy, check out Chad's shop, Ruck Rabbit Outdoors. Check out our friends at Karmic Garden.
And by next week, there'll be a totally new in-person place to buy some of your things.
We'll talk about it next week.
Okay.
And don't forget our friends. They're not on Etsy, but they're our friends at Riverbend Comics. John, who you hear on the show sometimes, and Sam, who you've heard on the show with John usually. They run Riverbend Comics. Great friends of ours. They will be having, if it's not up by the time you hear this, they'll have it soon, Department of Truth number 18. They made sketch covers. I did one other one that they sold pretty quickly. So this is an original piece of art. It's a Bigfoot that I've done on this Department of Truth cover. They'll have that over at Riverbend Comics. You can get it from them. Riverbendcomics.com. I think that's all the business we have.
I really feel like I need a gavel.
Just
complete.
Mm-hmm.
Are you the secretary? Who's taking the minutes? So we know we can cover.
I think the little recorder is taking the minutes.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
We have someone handling
it. Apologies on my... I think it's the heat. It just makes me incoherent. Like, I can't finish a sentence.
We lost our words.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back soon with more Strange Familiars. Strange Familiars is a production of Dark Holler Arts. Intro and background music by
Stone Breath.
And you can find more or purchase music by Stone Breath at stonebreath.bandcamp.com. Also have some merch there. All the Stone Breath albums, of course, but Elzik's Farewell, the new art book is available there. And some other...
Your Hellier contribution is related, there, right?
Wilderness Geist, yeah. Which they use for the soundtrack of... I think it was episode 10 of season 2 of Hellier.
The finale, right?
Yeah. Lots of stuff there at the Stone Breath Bandcamp, stonebreath.bandcamp.com. Strange Familiars is on Facebook, facebook.com/strangefamiliars. You can join the Strange Familiars gathering group there. We are on Instagram. Our Instagram handle is at... what else do you call it? Your Instagram name? I don't know.
Your handle.
Instagram handle. At Strange Familiars, one word. And you can find us on the web at strangefamiliars.strangefamiliars.com.
.com. That's like a trick question.
and knowing this rise like burn. The winged cross themselves in turn, and the wind becomes the worm.
Thank you. Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.